meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Nice. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. All righty. I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight, besides take some calls and bore the bejesus out of all you listeners. We're going to do something that Drew and I decided to do, independently.
Right. We actually haven't talked about it yet.
No, we haven't. So we somehow know what we're going to talk about, which is last night on this show, we got a call that made me laugh and made Drew laugh and made Tom Arnold laugh. Harder than I believe we'd laughed in some time.
I would agree.
And unfortunately, it was the last call of the evening.
Yes.
And ironically.
Yeah.
But I really haven't laughed that hard. And it's a really funny call. I don't know if it's even as funny as the amount that we laugh, if that makes sense. But we laughed so hard at this call last night, and pardon me, I'm getting sick, which to say that we laughed really hard, then we went to commercial. Then we laughed some more, and then there was a few beats of silence, and then we all erupted in laughter again, just thinking about it.
And then we went home.
And then we went home.
Real fast.
And I was, like, laughing on the way home.
Yeah.
And we don't remember too many calls we get on this show. We rarely ever have a discussion about any calls that we get on this show or anything regarding this show. And I don't think we've ever, I shouldn't say ever, but rarely ever replayed a call on this show.
It has
been a number of years.
We've never both gone to Anderson before the show for anything, let alone to go replay a call. We both went in there and said, Anderson, you got that call? We're going to play it tonight.
Yeah, it seems a shame that it was so late last night. So we're going to replay it soon.
Now?
And here's what I'm saying. If in... Drew, not... Don't say now.
That's what I'm asking.
I'm saying soon.
All right.
Okay. Because I have some things to discuss with Anderson on it, because Anderson wants to cut it down.
I see.
Anderson claims it's 7 minutes and change. I looked at the timer last night, and it was 5 minutes and change on the on-air timer.
Maybe put it on hold a couple times.
Sometimes stuff changes when you put them on hold and that kind of thing. Anderson?
Yeah, you put them on hold and you digress as usual. So it was from
little,
the time we went
jab
to
there.
Her.
Right.
And to the time that you stopped laughing and went to break, it was over 7 minutes.
All right. Now, because of Anderson's as usual line.
We'll play the whole thing. Let's do it.
We'll
I'm going to leave your mics open because
we'll
I don't want to do the whole thing.
Right. All right. We'll play the whole thing, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a call first, and we'll play it at about 10 or 15 after.
Can you make this caller, whoever it may be, whatever the question might be, say Holocaust somewhere along the line?
the next caller?
Yeah. Or cancer.
Do not tip the joke, Anderson, please. And listen, everybody, I rarely say this. I don't have any tapes of this show. I don't care if you guys listen to the show. But for this one call, call your friends. Call your friends. I mean it. We're going to play this in about...
Now, this is not 15-year-old, jackhole humor.
No.
This is
20-year-old jackhole humor.
This is 25-year-old jackhole humor.
I'm just saying... There's people that are fans of the show, and then there's people that are casual listeners to the show. I want the fans of the show to call everyone they know now. One call. One of you. Call your buddy. Call your friends. Call your mom. Call your boss. And tell her, or him, or it, is mostly the case on this show. Tune into Loveline on whatever station you listen to in your hometown, because in 10 minutes, we're going to play a call that made me laugh than any call we've ever had. And we'll not play it again.
This would be the call that your parents would actually appreciate.
Don't say we're not going to play it again, because we will play it again. And it's so good that I've been thinking about it all day, and I got to talk to you about it, Adam, because I got some golden ideas that you could use.
Anderson has ideas.
Great idea. Well, how dare you?
I miss the Anderson with no ideas. I miss the Anderson where I wasn't sure whether Anderson was his first or last name.
7 minutes, 48 seconds. Go.
7:48. Well, now, wait a minute, Anderson. We're not going to play it yet.
I know. I'm going to go to the call.
Okay, I'm going to let everyone boot up here, and we'll play it in about 5-6 minutes. Sean?
Sean?
Hello?
You're 15?
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes, sir.
What do you know about breast lumps? Because I have these lumps underneath my nipples, and I've heard you on a previous show talk about them. They're caused by estrogen.
Right.
And I was just wondering what if these will affect me physically, like...
No, they will probably go away with time.
Yeah, but will they... See, I'm kind of a late bloomer.
Right.
And I was just wondering if these have anything to do with it.
I'm almost...
It's a puberty thing,
it's
right?
A puberty thing, and the fact that you're having puberty late...
Means you get
fits,
lumps late.
Right. The lumps normally come around 13, and for you they're coming on around 15. And that fits your late puberty. And it's, again, the adrenal gland production of certain hormones rather than the testosterone, which is about to follow when your testes turn on. This is all normal. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. But
estrogen, is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Estrogenic hormones. Yeah, absolutely.
What's the difference between estrogen and estrogenic hormones?
They have estrogen effects. It's essentially estrogen, too.
But you said adrenal before.
Produced mostly by the adrenal and converted by fat tissue and whatnot.
Does the adrenal gland produce something other than adrenaline?
Oh, yeah.
You don't know that.
Yeah, a bunch of things.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like orange juice coming from a cow.
Isn't that great? But I have to, a scab you got to pick. What is your fantasy? You sort of alluded to being concerned that something was going to happen or something was wrong with you. What is your fantasy about these things?
I don't really have a fantasy.
Well, what is your fear?
Well, my fear is that they won't go away and they'll get, bigger. And
you'll actually need you'll have breasts like a woman.
Well, maybe not quite that, but yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah. You know, and I just thought about why life is so horrible. You spend the first part of your life hoping, praying, wondering if things will go away.
Yeah.
Your weird voice, your zits, your lumpy nipples. And then you spend the second part of your life hoping stuff
doesn't go away.
First part, get out of here. Second part, oh, please stay. Please, what's happening?
Your memory, your erections.
Everything. Everything is slowly
your waistline.
Going. Everything's going away. So it's really, it's like your life becomes this, you're going up the front of the hill and you can't wait to get to the summit. And then you just start going down the backside and you're hitting that valley. It's ironic that they bury you, deep, deep in the valley.
Dude, we're going to have to have a little talk when we go for the break.
Yeah, I've been, you know what? Sleep deprivation, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Getting up too
Listen,
early.
I'm getting up at 4 and going to Oklahoma.
What?
Oh, which reminds me, yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm giving a talk tomorrow at Central Oklahoma University.
Really? Drew's great. He loves his family so much that he goes cross country every single weekend for a nickel. To talk to strangers about
and you're right.
Pulling out.
I shouldn't travel, especially not to a bachelor party or anything so frivolous as that.
Oh, yeah. You got to come to my bachelor party, Drew. I forgot all about that.
Hey, I'm
Marie,
there's something I did want to mention. There's actually a TV show I'm proud of. I voiced.
Well, you're not on it.
Yeah, I am. It's for the Learning Channel. It's going to be on Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. It's called Teen Species, and it's a 3-part documentary about kids and kids biology. And so it's actually a good piece of television. People can learn something watching it.
I did a little number called Chimp Feces, which, you just close your eyes and picture what goes on there.
Are they in motion, the feces?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're being hurled.
With commercials, 24 minutes of just nothing but primate fecal matter.
Nice.
In the air.
Oh, good. Good times.
Marie?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hi. Okay, I have a question for Dr. Drew. I wanted to know what the deal is with when women are molested when they're younger, why they become so infatuated with having sex.
I'm not sure anyone really knows that any kind of sort of biological, theoretical model, though the people are trying to come up with them, are trying to come up with an understanding of why when kids are traumatized, they then go into the adult life and repeat that trauma compulsively.
Mm-hmm.
It's well established that people do that, but exactly why the brain is wired, what it is about the brain that makes it do that. One of the current lines of research is looking at the effects of dissociation. The fact that when you're traumatized, your brain will sort of go into a mode of escape when there is no real physical escape. The brain escapes. It's sort of, you go into sort of dreamlike state, your endorphin levels go up, your vagus nerve becomes stimulated.
But why is it that when you're attacked by a dog or you almost drown in a pool, you stay away from water and dogs
right.
like you know you should?
But at certain stages of development, you want to be a veterinarian.
Is it that, or is it the type of stimulation it's or type of abuse?
It's probably that it's at the hands of humans, I suspect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What?
Well, people theorize that it's a mastery experience. They feel they're rendered powerless by people they should be, they should be relying upon. So they try to reenact and regain mastery of that situation, but they keep trying to act it out with the same people. Same kind of person that perpetrated in the first place, so of course they perpetrated again.
Right.
Okay.
That's one of the things.
Why? What happened to you, Marie?
Oh, I was much younger. My mom was very busy. She worked, so we had a babysitter that we would stay there late at night, and her son would come down and pretty much just molest me, take advantage of me.
How old were you?
I was young, maybe 8, 9, around there.
How old was he?
He was in high school, so probably young teens, maybe.
Yeah.
Whatever, 16, around there.
It's clearly something neurobiological, neuropsychobiological, but no one has really worked out what is going on in the brain.
I don't think anyone in our audience knows any three of those words, Drew.
And it's your brain.
When you combine them, now they're really lost. Hey, Marie, get some therapy.
Yeah, I have.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, thanks.
Right. Hey, good times, though, right? Yeah, good times.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I feel compelled to give this speech, and then we're going to play last night's last call of the night, which just tickled me pink.
Yeah.
Drew enjoyed, and I really haven't laughed that hard on this show in quite some time. I really haven't laughed that hard in 5 years, and when I fart, I laugh like that.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, laugh maniacally.
But you don't sustain it quite as long as you did last night.
Well, it depends how long the fart lasts.
Yeah.
But yeah. But what the hell was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
Here's what I'll say.
Yeah. Listen, everyone is screwed up. It strikes me, and Drew and I talk about this all the time, and there's a lot of people that don't think they'll ever be right. They're not so sure about therapy. They're trying to read books on stuff. They got tampered with. Not necessarily sexually abused, but whatever. We're all products of our parents and our environment growing up. Here's what I would urge, and I think, I'm not sure where Drew comes down on this, but I feel strongly about it. Start acting sane. Start doing sane stuff. You know what a sane life is. I mean, here's what I'm saying. You feel scattered, you feel out of control, you feel whacked out, and maybe you are, maybe you'll always be.
Yeah.
But go get your car washed once a week and vacuum the goddamn thing out.
Yes.
And take the 26 coffee mugs off the dashboard. Start doing things that a sane person, that a together person, that a responsible person does. Works the same in relationships.
Yeah.
We all feel like going off the deep end. Mm-hmm. We all see something that reminds us of something.
Go ahead and don't.
Yeah. Just don't. We want to F our neighbor? Don't.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Take a word of
it. Unless you're
page
my,
from your own, yeah.
Unless you're my neighbor, and then you can come over and F me. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but one thing I want to say about this, and that people lose sight of, is that in many of these kinds of behaviors, willpower does not have much influence. And because, and this is an interesting thing that people don't think about, a lot of these things are disorders of drive. They're driven. I mean, powerful drive, survival drive mechanism. Clearly, the wiring of the region of the brain we're talking about are the same areas that affect addiction. And these are very primitive areas that don't have thought, don't have language, don't have any logic, and they just create drive. And you can't always overcome drive.
Okay, now you've given everyone a green light to not do what I told them to do.
No, you can do what you're doing. That's absolutely what they should do.
I'm not really talking about willpower. In a sense, I am. I'm talking about you don't get up, you don't want to jog in the morning, yeah. You don't want to
go away. Go ahead and do the thing.
Don't have that dessert and start doing some goddamn, you know what the answer is.
That's right.
Start doing it.
That's right.
And you have to approach your life that way. I mean, looking, everyone knows the answer. Don't eat so much, start exercising. It's tough, but that's a simple answer. And sometimes you can do that. And then before you know it, you're sane life.
You're strange.
You may
sound. You want to
put the guts. All right. Let's hear this tonight, Anderson. You're right. Hurrying along now because I really am running late for break. But Arnold is our guest. It's the last of the night last night. 20-year-old gal from Ontario, California. And
her
name is Sugar, and the rest speaks for itself.
Although you do digress quite a bit, and I'm going to leave your mics on, so if you guys comment and critique yourselves along the way, that'd be fun.
I'm not sure how to take that, but fun. Is that Lorene? Lorene, you're 20. What's up?
I'm a phone actress.
My problem is my collars are way too fast. And for me to make any kind of dough, I need to keep them in a collar.
Oh my
so anyways, guys, what do you guys like to hear on the phone?
How get this straight. You do. You're like Man of La Mancha and stuff over the phone for like Britain or something like that who couldn't get to the theater. But here's the sex talk, huh?
Right.
How do you describe yourself? I think they do a little good job sometimes, and then it's like, I'm 5'9", I'm a 38 double D, I have...
Oh, no, I keep it real. I say I'm about 5'7", long dark hair, green eyes, 36 C, 24-inch waist.
Have you ever had a bachelor party and...
Hold on. hold on, we gotta go. Hey, Anderson, stop.
Have you had a bachelor...
One second. She said, just in case no one got what she was...
Phone actress,
yeah. Which was a little bit...
Bizarre.
As I listen to it now... Didn't make sense, but I hope everyone knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
She did phone sex for a living.
Right.
Thank you. Go ahead, Anderson.
Party, and then someone described themselves like, I mean, honestly, over the phone, they said, this woman is this way, and they get to the door, and you feel so bad for them.
Right.
Because they do weigh 220 pounds.
Listen, I was thinking about this the other day when I had a bunch of people waiting at an airport for me for a chartered plane that was, like, leaving, but not without me, and they said, they called me on my cell phone, and they were like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm just getting off on Sherman Way. I'm on the 405 as I'm basically going down my driveway. And I'm thinking to myself, it's nice that you lie, but the fact that it takes you 25 minutes to get a block and a half from where you said you were, like, eventually, yeah. Like the stripper who says how hot she is, isn't there going to come a time when the truth is revealed?
Yeah.
Yes, and
that's digression, Drew, by the way.
That's why you have to sort of...
I was following you.
Thank you. A little bit, but don't... When you're still in your driveway, say you're down the street, don't say you're coming up. So, Lorene, you describe yourself as... Is that what you are?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And what do you do? Like, is the talk... You're saying the talk is, like, extra naughty, extra good? Like, talk to Tom. See if you can...
Yeah, hi.
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Hey, Tom here. Talk to me.
So what is
Visa or MasterCard?
I just want to keep these guys satisfied.
Now, Lorene, Tom's your client.
I'm your client.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Tom.
Hey, I'm Sugar. How you doing?
Good, Sugar. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just relaxing a bit on my bed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What are you doing?
What, do you have the 500 count sheets, the thread count?
Yeah.
I bet. Silky.
What are you wearing? This is Tom's friend, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you wearing?
Oh, well, I'm wearing a tight little gray T-shirt.
Oh, I got to go.
And my nipples.
Hey, Tom, can you move your car? It's blocking mine in the driveway.
Oh, man. Well, I say my nipples are a bit hard, and I'm wearing a black thong, and I'm touching myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
That's sweet, yeah. Well, listen, why don't you sort of work, like, you know what you ought to do?
What?
Here's what you ought to do, because you don't want to be too mundane, and you want to be sexual, but maybe if she did it in a sort of subliminal way, she could add a little time, like you go, like,
which
so the guy goes, like,
favorite sports team?
What are you wearing? No, she'll go, like, I'm wearing a lacy black teddy Holocaust with a long
Hitler
camisole. Yeah, cancer. And just see if you could slide in, like, cancer, Holocaust, grandparents. And see what you could do.
That's good.
And I bet it would add some time. So, the mind works. The mind is very interesting that way, Drew.
Subliminal phone sex operator.
Right.
SNL ought to do this.
Right. Yeah.
I think they did.
They did do it, actually. But I think that would work for her.
Yeah.
Let's try that. Let's see. Lorene?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on a second there, Anderson, for just 1 second. Okay. Now, all sane people know what I just explained to her right?
Yes. You did I'm forgetting the name of the Saturday Night Live actor who did Subliminal Man.
He did Subliminal
Kevin
Man.
Nealon.
Kevin Nealon, yes. It's a very funny bit. It's not... To be fair to us, not Subliminal Phone Sex Man,
yes,
but Subliminal Man. And that's what we're asking, for her to toss those horrible things in.
Go ahead and be the sex operator, but try to get more time with her clients by throwing in disturbing subliminal messages.
Drew, that's the best goddamn piece of radio I've heard you do in 11 years.
I love you too, man.
All right, so let's see if she rose to the challenge.
Oh.
Here's what you do. I ask you what you're wearing, and somewhere you work in Vietnam very quickly. Very quickly. All right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. And what are you wearing, sugar?
Oh, I'm wearing a nice lace garter with a nice black lace bra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, but
Vietnam.
It was almost perfect.
Where's the Vietnam part?
You
Vietnam.
Okay, see, it's my fault for attempting to communicate with people that
I was amazed
show.
That I thought that you had pulled that off with her, and she was like right on it.
Yeah.
But it was too good to be true.
I know.
Well, maybe she actually worked it in. We just didn't notice it.
Yeah, I noticed my penis take a little dip off her description. Interesting. True.
Oh, tell you.
All right, I got to try one more time. But they're just, Lorene?
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain. I have this subliminal suggestion idea.
Don't use that word. It's too.
I have this quick word thing that's going to hurt the guy's penises. Okay.
Okay.
Now, when you describe what you're wearing, I want you to very quickly work in the word Holocaust.
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 Okay.
I think it means what? Cancer.
Do you know what the Holocaust is?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Okay. Oh, boy.
All right. That's all right. Hey, by the way, LA Unified Schools District. God bless you guys. You're really subliminal Holocaust.
Huge.
Okay. Oh, work in cancer.
You know what cancer is?
So great.
All right, work in the word cancer when you're describing what you're wearing, all right?
Oh, most definitely.
All right, you ready? Bring. Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar,
who are you?
I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
Yeah, burn those shoes, gas them in the shower, baby. Yeah,
I'm sending you my bill.
Yeah, send them on the train to Krakow. Yeah. No, Lorene, we may need to tweak this just a little bit more. This is.
But that was good.
Right. No, you take direction as good as any actress I've worked with in this town.
It really is good.
All right, Lorene, that's your new angle.
Yeah.
There it is.
You should actually try that tonight.
I'm thinking about the whole.
I like when she went.
Then we lose it. Then we lose it right there.
All right. I think we got to take a break. All right, guys. I like it when she went, ooh, she's thinking about the whole. That's Lorene, everybody. God bless her.
All right.
Bring. Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Oh, LA Unified. LA Unified, ladies and gentlemen. Very nice.
Right. That's my school district. And, Drew, you know, sometimes I hassle you about sending your kids to private school.
Yeah, I think now.
I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
I'm done, Dad. All right, that was last call of the night last night. And thank you. Thank you to Engineer Anderson. Let's take ourselves a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk to John. Yes, Drew? 7 years sober?
Yeah.
Dating girlfriend from AA?
Yeah.
7 years?
It'll be interesting.
All right.
All I can think about is the Holocaust, apparently.
After this. Hey, everybody. Drew. Me and Drew are having a career-oriented conversation right before the mics heat up, before the beginning of the show. And, of course, really what this show, I look at this show as
an interruption
between Drew and my conversation. Drew and I would meet here every night at 10 o'clock to have a discussion until midnight and then speak on the cell phone on the way home. But then there's these little sections of the show that jump in, intervene, and interrupt our conversation.
Such a pain.
But Drew, during the commercial break, when you would assume we would finish our conversation, goes into the next room, does a little glad handing, then stands around and looks at some pictures for a couple minutes, Then as the music starts playing that's alerting him that the show's starting, comes walking back in to sit in the studio, and as the mic's heating up, finishes the conversation we were having.
Actually, so what do you think about that? Just finish it, reinitiate.
Reinitiates the conversation.
If I finished it, it'd be fine.
Yeah. So it's like, Drew, how many seconds would you say I would have had to respond to?
12.
Oh, no.
You had a good 12.
12?
Yeah, maybe 8.
You want me to tell you what 12 seconds feels like?
Maybe 8.
It's going to be bad radio. Ready? Go. 5.
Five seconds.
Okay. That you gave me 5 seconds to continue the conversation we're having before the mics heated up. There you go. John?
Hey, how you doing?
53 years old.
How are you?
Wow.
What's up?
Listen, she's got this a little mixed up. I had 9 years sober.
9 years. Fantastic.
And, I fell in love with a girl. What a doll. And I had picked up after 9 years. And
picked up using again?
Yeah.
What's the drug?
Alcohol.
All right.
And we tried to get back together, and I put 2 years together, and I went to a couple of rehabs and this and that. She went through torture. You know, she really...
Is she sober?
She's sober 9 years, yeah.
All right.
And we really love each other. You know, we always ended up with each other, and... I'm sober 7 months now, and, you know, what happens to her, she puts a Band-Aid on the grieving, you know, between me and her, and she's always come up to me and told me, you know, I love you, I'll miss you, I'll never, ever be able to live without you, but I can't live with you with active addiction. You know?
All right, so now you're sober.
And it's really, you know, that's right on the money.
All right, now you're sober, so what's happening?
And, yeah, I miss her.
What can we do to help?
Well, I don't want to lose her.
All right, where is she now?
She's with another guy.
Looks
like a troll.
It's too late, John. This is part of the consequences of your disease. She is with someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
I had this gut feeling that she's going to come back.
Well, that's fine if you want to cling to that, but the fact is you got to focus on your sobriety. You shouldn't be engaging in anything new this year anyway.
Right.
Let your sobriety take hold, work it hard, and...
Well, what do you mean, new?
This would be a reinitiate. Don't make any change.
Reinitiate.
You don't make change in that first year. You don't end relationships, don't start new ones, don't reinitiate old ones.
Even if it's warming over some old tang?
Even if it's warming over some old tang, yes. That's, in fact, the words that ran across my mind.
Is that in the book?
It's in the book, yeah. Bill W. Snow have said that, yeah. Don't warm over old tang. The first 12 months of sobriety.
So, but here's the thing, too, John. You have a gut feeling she's going to come back?
Fine.
Either way, whether she comes back or not, you got to be sober.
And
right?
The reality is she has to be part of your disease, a big part of it. She's not getting better, and I suspect she's probably found another alcoholic or addict to sort of work on. And now the reason she is gone is the fact you are actually getting better probably this time.
But John, don't build her up too much. You focus on getting sober,
right?
And then we'll see if your gut, which I'm guessing is sizable, we'll see if that gut is right or not.
Well, she doesn't want you as a using addict. She doesn't want you as a sober one either.
Nick,
yeah,
you're 16.
Hey,
bisexual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like afraid to tell my family about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm afraid, like, what they say or what they'll think about me.
Well, why don't you wait till you're away at college or can support yourself by yourself and then tell them.
You go to college, I'll tell your folks. How about it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, my mom, we've had conversations about it before, just off, like, random conversation.
How do those go down? How do those get started?
Well, I don't, like, we'd be watching TV or something. And, like, there'd be gay people on it or, like, bisexuals on it.
Mm.
And we'd just get on the subject. And then,
let me stop you there. Bisexuals aren't portrayed on TV very often.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't think of a single.
No, but you know why? Bisexuals are like mulattoes. They're no good to TV. They're not black. They're not white.
But plenty of gay people on TV.
They're not gay. They're not straight. It's no good for TV. It's no good when you're creating a drama or even a comedy. There's nothing there. You're not one. You're not the other.
Mm-hmm.
Half of something is no good.
It could create a little drama or chaos. But anyway, the point is you were actually watching homosexuals on TV, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that created some discussion about sexual orientation.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I saw a documentary, and I don't know if you've ever seen Homosexuals in Their Natural Habitat.
No.
Oh, my God.
Was this the primate feces thing?
Crazy. They were at a place called Oil Can Harry's.
Mm-hmm.
They were dancing to like a native ritual song. I think it was done by the village people. There was they had a glory hole and the conga line. It was eye-opening, Drew.
Hmm.
Eye-opening.
Nice.
So, Nick.
Yeah.
Have you ever been with a guy?
No. Uh-huh. I haven't.
No.
But, well, I mean, like, I'm attracted to them.
Are you?
Strongly.
Have you been with a girl?
You're gay.
Yeah.
Drew, please. You've been with a girl.
Yes.
And you enjoy women as well?
Oh, yeah.
And, you sure? I mean, you're attracted to guys, yet you've never been with one. Why don't you think you've been with one if you're so attracted
to
one?
Well, I mean, I'm just starting high school this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, there was, like, a lot of people, like, don't open up, like, around, like, their peers and stuff because they're, like, afraid of, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
which is realistic.
And by the way, you're starting high school at 16?
Yeah, I'll be a sophomore.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And freshmen are still junior high in my school.
When was your birthday?
86.
No, what month?
November.
So you're a year behind?
Are you 16 now?
I'll be 16 in a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
In November, I'm sorry.
Okay. That's what screwed everything up for us. The screen says 16.
Yeah.
We thought you were going to be 17, and that would have been terribly old to start high school.
Yeah.
All right there, buddy boy. Look. Don't get into it with your parents.
Okay.
I know people have this sort of truth is for all nonsense BS, but they don't need to know.
The only time
it's
we
not
find
even really the right to know.
The only time we find people standing up at the dinner table under the age of 18 to talk about their sexual orientation is when they have a score to settle. They're angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the only time that happens.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's adolescents don't talk to their parents about their heterosexual experiences either.
Look, I don't think you should talk to your parents after your 15th birthday. I've something I've always stuck by, and I'm on a roll now.
Oh, I mean, you've made it since you were 15?
23 years.
Nice.
23 years. Yeah, I don't know, Drew, what did you talk to your parents about? I mean, you must have just had endless conversations about college and grades, right?
Yeah, yes.
Is that all you guys talked about?
Yes.
Your dad saying you could do a little bit better in trig?
I don't really remember, but yeah, okay.
Really? Is your dad, like Drew's dad was a doctor. Did your dad give you all kinds of doctorisms about what it's going to be like and you're going to have to?
No.
None of that stuff?
Not that I recall, no.
He wasn't that kind of guy?
No.
But they did talk to you about getting your grades in order?
Yeah.
And they'd say to you stuff like, how's this going or what's this going or if you applied here, what about that?
Yeah.
Those kind of discussions. And that's probably the bulk of your discussions?
Yeah.
That and traveling places?
No, we didn't travel.
You didn't travel, but what about discussion of travel?
Sure, lots of that.
Lots of that? And family members you can give a rat's ass about?
Lots of discussion about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spend the bulk of my time talking to my family about people that they know that I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the Mandels. Trudy and Jules. Trudy went to Spain.
Did they ever ask you that?
Trudy does pottery. She's quite gifted. Yeah, that's great. Here, let me just ask you a question. You think the Mandels sit around and discuss my potential as an artist?
Uh-huh.
I'm not so sure they do.
Do they have kids, any of these people?
Yeah.
And those kids were great to hang around?
Jesus, I know they're listening. We hung around. First off, you grow up. I grew up with a bunch of people I thought were my aunts, my uncles, and stuff like that. I have no relation to these people at all. They just think it's their friends,
like
your grandparents' friends, your parents' friends. Thank God my parents were such colossal dorks that they had almost zero social life and zero friends. I mean, my mom had a couple of, like, crazy, whacked-out, hippie nut jobs that flew around the house like buzzards circling a dead yak out in the Serengeti once in a while, but that was about it. Mm. Now, my grandparents are the ones that had all these kooky friends.
Mm. Did they have kids?
The Mandels had Rico, Renee, and Mimi.
Here's the great thing about those relations. I'm sure a lot of time and energy was put into discussing whether you enjoyed spending time with those kids.
Yes, and I didn't. They were all big husky kids that we had nothing. Here, let me give you an idea of nice enough people, but let me give you an idea of the kid who was my age. His name was Renee. His name was Renee. B, he was a violinist. Ooh. He now plays with the L.A. Chamber Orchestra.
Was he the guy that's on the side of the building in downtown Los Angeles?
Yes. He is that big in real life, too. He was when he was in the sixth grade. He was that big. And number three, when he's not playing the concert violin, he's boning up on his French.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Now, I'm 11.
Trying to master
English. My whole thing is, my whole goal to life is to ride a wheelie one whole block on my dirt bike and see who I can kill with a dirt clod.
Yes, yes.
That's all I want to do in life. And this guy's boning up on French and playing the fiddle. Okay? So, zero really interest to talk about. Oh, you take a couple 11-year-olds and stuff them in the same room that can keep each other occupied, but it's not exactly kindred spirits, you know? And the Mandels were like this whacked-out family that was like half Jewish and half French. So Jules, the main dad, would always speak to the kids in French.
Oh, boy.
So it's like, and he'd do it when he was mad. So you'd be sitting there, and he'd lean on and go, and I'm just sitting there like, and I'm wearing a goddamn yarmulke. Because this is what Jews do. Jews force you to wear a yarmulke when you eat at their house because you'd go over there like, we're going to the Mandels for the Seder. Oh, put the yarmulke. But it's a crappy paper yarmulke, and you've got that bad 70s hair, and you don't even know what's on. You end up walking around 2 weeks with a goddamn paper yarmulke on your head. You're just sitting there at the table. And when Jules isn't speaking French, he's speaking Yiddish, you know, and he's doing the Seder, you know, and it's like, I'm 9 and a half. It's like, oh, Christ, could I please give me that goddamn brisket? I'll kill myself with it. I'll shove that. These goofballs. Not a kid. Nobody. Nobody had a dirt bike. Nobody had a German Shepherd. Nobody had a swimming pool. Nobody had anything. It was just, we're going over the Mandels. You can put a paper yarmulke on and listen to Jules speak French and Yiddish for 4 hours. Meanwhile, all the food just gets cold. You just sit there staring at a steaming piece of brisket and watching it turn to ice while Jules waxes on about Elijah. and the bitter herbs and stuff. I didn't even know what the F he was talking about. And no novelty. Yiddish is like a novelty. It was like it's a comedic language.
It was actually Hebrew, I suspect.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Drew, watch. I'll tell you exactly what it sounded like. You start rambling on in French, and I'll do my Hebrew, and I'll tell you exactly. This is what the Seder sounded like.
Le français semble
comme ça. La hi, that's what it sounded like, just sitting there for 4 hours. This was my childhood. All right, let's take a little break. I promise to take more calls when we come back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, let's get to some calls here. Lynn.
Hey.
Hey, you're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering about oral fixations and how to get rid of them.
All right.
What does that mean to you?
Well, all right, I started sucking my thumb at a very, very young age. And it, like, runs in my family. My mom sucks her thumb. My grandma used to. It's just, you know. And as I got older, you know, I started, like, sucking on lollipops in school all the time. I always had to have something in my mouth. Gum, lollipop, end of a pen, my thumb, anything.
And now?
Now, I kind of, I'm, like, intimidating my boyfriend. He's a little worried, I guess, because anytime we try to fool around, I just go right down there. That's just where I go. I don't want to kiss. I don't want him to really touch me. I'll just go right to go down on him. Yeah, and I'll drop by his house to, like, you know, do it because I want to. It's like a kind of like a craving.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I don't know what to do.
Right.
I don't.
He doesn't like this?
No, it's not that he doesn't like it. I guess it's just kind of annoying when I show up at work to bring him lunch and I want to take him to the bathroom and go down on him. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think he's kind of intimidated, and I don't want to do that to him.
Let me ask you this, hypothetically, or maybe not hypothetically. Would it be okay with you if you dropped by his work, brought him lunch, and he was eating while you did this?
Yeah, why not?
Like just sitting down on the toilet, eating
no
a hoagie?
No toilet. But if he wanted to eat lunch, I let him watch. Like, he'll be watching TV, and I don't, like, make him focus on me while I do it all the time.
Could he watch TV and eat while you did this?
I don't see why not.
Ooh.
Oh, Adam, relax. Relax. She's in Manhattan.
I can fly. You got a sister?
No, but I'm actually going to be moving out to California in 2 months.
Sweet. Okay, you're not bringing that sandbag with you, are you?
No, actually, I don't think so.
You need a man who can appreciate you. Because I'll tell you, with me, it'd be nothing but oral. We wouldn't even talk. I just eat, watch TV, and get oral.
Just cut right to the chase. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
But I feel bad because I do love him, and I'm moving out to California to further my career. So, I model for import cars. I do a lot of import car modeling, like car shows, magazines.
Oh, import car models.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a whole new breed of model.
What is it?
It's sort of what lowrider modeling was in the 70s. This is modeling for skanky chicks, but they're sort of hot. You know what I mean?
They're mostly Asian. I'm one of the few white bred American girls that actually have kind of gotten a name for myself in the business.
It's sort of like, Drew, there's what you think of as classic modeling, where the women have to be sort of waify and tall and sort of supple looking.
Right.
And then there's like this whole import car thing is going through the roof. The Fast and the Furious, people getting hold of their rice burners and taking basically taking $10,000 cars and putting $25,000 right. worth of stereo in them.
Right.
And the chicks that model them don't have to be as tall. They're a little bustier, and they got the crazy drawn on eyebrows.
Oh, well, actually, my eyebrows are natural.
Yeah, they're edgier. It's like porn meets modeling.
I see. Okay, got it.
Pro wrestling sort of meets modeling.
But there's always been that with car, you know, stuff people hang in their garage and stuff.
Yeah, it's right? a little, yeah, but it kind of reminds me of the 70s. They had the sort of lowrider models.
Right.
They still do.
Motorcycle.
So you're pretty hot, right?
I guess so.
And what do you do? How do you come out to California and pursue the modeling for import cars?
Well, I work for a certain kind of company. I don't want you guys to think I called up to plug it, but it's Import Revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the scene out in California is a lot stronger than in New York.
Yeah, because nobody drives there. Right.
And I can make a lot more money. You know, I'm going to be featured in a couple magazines and a few calendars.
Right.
So I'd also rather be out there. The weather's a lot nicer.
All right. And so you're going to bring this guy or you're going to leave him behind?
Well, he wants to stay here, and I'm totally for going to California. And I was like, well, if you want to stay here, I'm not going to do the long distance.
Then. Right. All
right. Well, come visit here.
Sound like it's breaking up. Yeah, Anderson would like to talk to you because Anderson is quite the car enthusiast. I saw him putting oil in his radiator the other night. He knows cars. Let me tell you something about Anderson, Lynn. He lives his life a quarter mile at a time. All right? Yeah.
Well, Lynn, you're not that in love with this guy. You wouldn't be going anywhere.
All right. So.
That's fine.
It's all right with the oral thing. I'm all fine. Right. You weren't raped or anything weird?
Is there anything connected to it genetically?
Well,
or anything?
Yeah, kind of. But what Adam asked, you had anything, any trauma growing up?
Not at all. Well, my father passed away when I was 8, but I was never molested or touched or anything like that.
All right.
I grew up in a pretty respectful family.
All right.
Well, thanks.
The oral stuff is a form of expression of a kind of an aggressive impulse, an aggression. But it doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with it.
I'll tell you, this Lynn, between her love of oral sex
and cars,
in her inns in the automotive industry.
Adam, this is your woman. This is it.
Yeah.
They're not good, and she must have, what do you call it, a rack?
She must. Yeah. She's like, she's one of these chicks who puts on like the stripper pumps, hot pants, and holds a nitrous bottle and smiles, and they put it in a Jap car rice burner, like weekly and stuff. I don't like all those cars because they're all front wheel drive, though. It's weird. Kevin?
Yeah.
You're 13?
Time's up.
Yeah, I see that. You're 13?
Yep.
You're, I don't want to talk to Kevin then.
All right.
You want to buy TiVo?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead and get the TiVo.
How much is it, though?
You're 13, buddy.
Yeah.
When I was when I was 13, I was dreaming about something called 8-track. TiVo, that's too much entertainment for you.
Yeah, but I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know, but you'll burn yourself out. Where do you go?
No, where do you go from there?
I meant metaphorically. Yeah, where do you go from
here? Who's going to tell you?
I go to my buddy's house. Sometimes I go to the water park. All right. No TiVo before. I think you should be 18 before you get TiVo.
Yeah.
They should do that.
Not good for your brain.
I mean, they do this with booze and cigarettes and what have you.
Sure.
Why not? You can make an argument against, you know, DVDs and TiVo and video games, right?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Drew.
All right.
Let's go to the phones there, buddy.
All right, buddy, let's go.
Hey, buddy. You know, it's funny. I talk to people about you. I call you Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Someone pointed it out to me and was sort of laughing about me.
Yeah.
I was saying stuff like, yeah, me and Dr. Drew, we speak on the phone at night, and Dr. Drew and I this and Dr. Drew and... They said, you got to call him Doctor? Can't call him Drew?
When I call you at the man show, I go, hey, it's Drew. Like, who's calling?
Well, that's what I told the people. I do it for clarification, not out of respect for Drew, but for you guys. If I say I'm just talking to Drew.
They won't know who you're talking about.
Right.
As it is, they don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So.
I'll tell you my... Okay.
What?
You know, my dad.
Yeah.
My dad, my friend Ray... has a friend named Drew.
Yeah.
Who I've met 2 or 3 times. And my dad has met 2 or 3 times. And one time when I was speaking about you, I said, I don't know, they want me and Drew to do some morning radio, but I don't know, Drew said that we ought to sit it out, and I think we're going to do this. Drew and I are going to do a speaking engagement, whatever. My dad thought I was talking about Ray's friend.
You sure Brad doesn't? Your Brad, your dad doesn't have some sort of neurological problem?
I wish he did. It'd be so much easier for me if he did. I pray to God he's got a tumor the size of a pumpkin growing in his head.
It'll make everything make sense, won't it?
Yeah, it'd be great. He's on vacation right now. Hey, Drew, let me ask you a hypothetical. My dad's on vacation. Who do you think's paying for that vacation?
The government?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Himself?
No. Oh, no. Third option.
Shocking. Your sister.
Ooh, close, but no.
Adam Carolla.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Shocking. Yeah. I guess it's the least I could do. The least I could do for that man. Summer?
Hello?
You're 20?
Yeah.
Yes. When he's done with this vacation... I will have spent more on him in this one vacation than he spent from 8 years old to the time my stepmom kicked me out of the house. Summer?
Yeah?
What's up there?
My roommate, he's like my best friend too.
Mm-hmm.
And accidentally had sex with him like a month ago.
How does one accidentally trip and fell and his penis fell into your...
No.
You've seen that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial?
You got vagina on my penis?
No, you got penis in my vagina.
Well, both, I guess. But now he's, like, not even talking to me.
Well,
and,
he's not angry. He's just kind of freaked out.
I don't know. It's been, like, a month, and it's just, like, it was kind of, like, no strings attached sex, you know? He's been, like, my best friend since, like, elementary school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're both in college and working and stuff, and it's, like... I don't want to lose my best friend, and I don't want to lose my roommate. It's really hard to find a good roommate.
No, I don't believe any of it.
And I love him to death, but...
Yes, you do. No, you're right about the love part. You like this guy.
Oh, I love him to death.
No.
You love him. You like him.
You like him. You got a crush on this guy.
No, I don't. I mean, yes. I find him attractive, but he's almost... Well, I don't want to get all incestuous and say he's like a brother, but...
Well, you like, you're attracted to him, you love him to death, and you had sex with him. He's a great guy and a great roommate.
Why wouldn't you?
Drinking.
You gotta. You're into this guy. I'm telling you, you're into him. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You
broke her down, Adam. Way to go.
Thank you. Now, here's what's going on. The reason he's not talking to you is because he knows you're into him. And he's not into you that way. And he doesn't want this thing to move forward.
He doesn't want to hurt your feelings, and he doesn't want you to get the wrong idea.
How do I know? Because, like, he's always, like, we're both single, and he's always been looking for, like,
Drew, hold on.
Girl.
Can we call the guy up?
Huh?
Can we call?
No, he works graveyard shift, so.
So he's up, perfect. He's up working now.
Yeah, and I'm staying with my parents right now for the week because I'm kind of trying to get away from him for a while.
What kind of work does he do?
He does a busser, waiter.
Waiter. So yeah. We couldn't reach him. We couldn't reach him at the restaurant.
No.
Does he work at a 24-hour place?
Yeah.
All right. Drew gave me the phone thing a couple of times, and I sort of ignored him. And the reason I did is because she's calling from D.C., and I figured it's 2 a.m. And
whoa, I'm not calling from D.C.
Oh, you're watching Seattle. I'm sorry.
Washington State.
Same difference.
Where does he work?
At Sherry's.
Sherry's.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry's, like Jerry's Deli?
No, Sherry's.
Oh, Sherry's. Okay. Oh, okay. And it's open 24 hours.
Yeah.
He could step aside for a break.
No, I mean, he's going to be pissed at me if you guys call him because, you know, he won't even talk to me. He's not going to go on radio and talk
Drew,
to me.
True. I'm picturing us going down a long, gravelly road for nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, look, Adam is absolutely
it's
correct.
It's great. The show's broken my spirit to the point where I won't even try anything.
He's absolutely sorry.
Go ahead, Drew.
Adam is absolutely correct. You're into this guy. He senses it. He is anxious about that. He does value your friendship. He is now trying to figure out a way to salvage the friendship, not hurt your feelings, and not get this thing moving forward.
And you're pretending and you're trying to convince everybody, including yourself,
that
you're only into this guy as a friend with, oh, no, he's great. No, all I want is BS. You're into him.
I'm not pretending. I mean, I'm like a guy in the sense that, you know, it's like sex is sex. There's no sex to it.
Please.
It wasn't like, ooh, I love you. How
dare you attempt to squash my theory? How dare
you?
I know you better than you know yourself. I am telling you, you are into this guy.
We're not even saying necessarily that the sex made that big a difference.
No.
You already were into it.
You're into this guy, and he knows it, and he's a little freaked out by it, and you're trying to play it off like you're not, but in your heart you are, and he feels that energy, and that's where the problem is.
But I don't have, like, this deep-lying love for him. I don't.
Well, why don't you leave?
You know what? If you truly didn't,
this wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't it be a big deal?
Yeah, this would be like, what's wrong with him?
It matters because he's my best friend.
Then what are you worried about? He'd still be his whacked out roommate, my buddy.
He's your best friend. Yeah. He's your buddy. You guys live together. What, are you scared you're not going to see him? What's he doing, walking down the hall past you and not lifting his head up?
Yeah.
Why do women? We haven't gotten into this in a while, but women try to do this every once in a while. They try to act like a guy, and it just doesn't work. And when you start trying to break them down, you get little pieces.
Yeah.
Well, I am attracted to him, but he is a great guy. We have known each other. We live. I'm so worried about the friendship. BS. Here's the thing about friendships, true friendships.
They take care of themselves, the friends, the friendship.
Yeah, friendship. Friendships, it's like an outdoor cat.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. Right. It can take care of itself.
That's absolutely right.
It can be gone for a couple of days. It'll come back.
Yeah.
No
well,
big
especially
deal.
With guy. Now that's a guy friendship. Though.
Once in a while, it gets eaten by coyote,
bobcat, in our case.
Or bobcat. But yeah,
but girl relationships need some services.
Yeah, but they're not really friends. That's the whole thing.
They're compatriots.
They don't know.
Comrades.
Yeah, barely that. Yeah, as soon as the revolution's over, they're going to be going at each other. They're just like Cubans.
Oh boy,
you see what I'm saying? All right, Shauna.
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah, I'm 18, and I'm going to New York University in about 2-3 days, actually.
Fantastic. Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been in L.A., like, all my life, so I wonder if I could get your spiel, like, on New York. And
our spiel?
Yeah, you know.
We love that city.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there as an adult.
But she's going to college there. It's almost not even living there. You know?
I was about to get to that. But as an 18-year-old, it would have been a great experience and opportunity.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand the guys in their 30s and 40s who want to live in the city.
Manhattan.
Yeah, that seems a little too much.
Yeah, too much.
Too much all the time. But
we go there. How many days a year do we think we spend there the last 6 years?
We could average about a couple of weeks there every year. And it's always exciting, and it's a great town, and there's lots to do, and there's lots of interesting people. And you're coming from Long Beach. And Long Beach doesn't really have any personality except for gangbangers and troublemakers.
And a race every year.
Yeah. This you're going from almost zero. And listen, don't anyone call up and try to defend Long Beach. I've been to Long Beach 1,000 times. It's a big, fat cultural zero.
Lived there for the last 3 years.
To a place. Anderson lives there. Anderson thinks it's great, so you know it sucks.
Go Anderson. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Shauna, I went to college in the East, and it's a little bit of a shock for California just to prepare for that. The weather, it's so different, and you just prepare for how different it is. And don't leave pieces of your life back here. Get your life going out there. Establish yourself there. That's your life for the next 4 years, and make it that.
No better age, no better time to go over there. So you're fine, baby. This is a golden opportunity.
And we'll still be there. We're there in the middle of the night. So you can still listen to it.
Can you get K-Rock over there?
No, well, it's on WNEW, right?
Okay.
I don't know. It's on, I think it's on, our show's on at 11 over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. Thanks. Okay. All right, so we'll be there.
All right, great.
All right, baby, good times, good times.
All right, good times.
All right. Actually, I'm going there next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice, Drew. Kimberly.
Hello.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have, it's either a pimple or a cyst from my ear, like where my ear connects to my head.
Behind? Like behind the ear?
No, like I guess where the earlobe connects to the head.
So down, right with, like right here, the crease where the earlobe.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've had cysts before.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, but I've had also pimples like this before, so...
Yeah, those are pretty nasty. Hot compresses in the meantime. Sometimes some antibiotics, ointment, and...
What's a hot compress do?
It increases the flow of inflammatory cells into and out of that area so they can clean up the debris, and bacteria don't like the hot.
Yeah. So, I thought bacteria does like the hot.
Yeah, really not.
Well, some put it do. This way.
Well, why do you boil things and autoclave things?
Yeah, well, it doesn't like extreme hot, but it... Certainly, there's more crap under the garbage can in the summer than there is in the winter.
More crap.
Well, you know what I'm... Here's
that's
what
stuff,
I'm saying.
That's stuff that's stewing, though. That's organic material cooking.
That's what I'm saying. It's like during the summer, it's like one big crock pot outside. Nice. Big old stuff growing and hanging and jumping and moving and squirming.
How come we have not had a very, very positive reaction to the recent weather, you and I? We have weather.
I know, it's nice. We should, Drew.
We normally flip out. We're so happy when this weather hits. I'm not reacting to it the normal way for some reason.
You're jaded, man.
No, you know I don't trust it. I'm waiting for the heat to come. It's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you, they give you the five-day forecast, but I don't listen. You know why? Because I live my life a quarter mile at a time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it.
Right. I'm not sure how many days in advance a quarter mile is, but I'm guessing it's just a couple of... Maybe just a few minutes, actually. See what I'm saying, man?
I see.
So I live my life. Nathan?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, I can never seem to get a hard on every time I'm about to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wake up with hard-ons and things like that, and if I'm masturbating or something, after a while I can get it hard, but every time it comes to sex, I just... doesn't like to go out like
you're gay. How often does that happen?
Has it ever worked?
Yeah, I mean, I can still come. It just get completely hard.
So you've been able to actually have sex and penetrate?
Yes.
Does that something happens frequently for you?
No. I mean, no.
How many times have you had a failure?
Well, I've only had sex like 4 times. Well, mm-hmm. Tried 4 times, and once it's like the only time I really succeeded because.
Okay.
What's up?
Are you on any medication?
I am not.
What do you do for a living?
I work at a car lot.
Car lot?
Yeah.
What do you do, wash the cars?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's the lowest man on the car lot totem pole.
I know.
Do you have any medical problems?
I do not.
That's got to suck. And you're in Phoenix?
Oh, my God. Oh, is it an indoor car lot?
No, it's outside.
Oh.
You're just walking around, 122 degrees.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Just being baked by the sun and waiting to die. That's all. I look at everyone living in Phoenix as just waiting to die.
Yeah, it's a good place to go.
Tucson, I
wait to die on him.
Tucson, I look, is already dead. Phoenix is waiting to die. And you just go around and wash the same car over and over again, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
What kind of dealership?
Toyota.
Toyota?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's not Hyundai. It's not Mercedes. You're right in the middle there, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Right where you belong at this age. All right, is anything wrong with you physically?
No, I mean, no. I've been, like, healthy my whole life.
Did he say he had an... how do you look?
How do I look?
Yeah. You nice-looking guy?
Yeah.
You ever... did he say he had an old lady, Drew?
No, he said it's had sex four times.
Yeah. How about getting a girlfriend and working it all out?
Okay.
Could you do that?
That's what you need, Nathan.
All right.
A relationship where if it doesn't work, somebody can still kind of reduce your anxiety and support you and be with you. And so you get to the point where things are starting to work on their own.
You meet any hot chicks on the lot?
Yeah, there's some hot ones.
You do?
In the summertime, yeah.
No chick mechanics, is there?
What's that?
Any chick mechanics that you work with? No.
No, and if so, they probably wouldn't be all that good looking.
No, I know. I know. Did you see Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I had Angelina Jolie as, like, wheels. She worked on Ferraris.
Uh-huh.
Really, the biggest lie that movies ever tell is that hot chicks do anything, especially with cars. Angelina Jolie works on cars. First off, you'll never find a chick who works on cars. And if you do, she looks worse than the car.
You know, I was thinking about that.
She weighs more, I should say.
The preferences for kinds of... interest that boys and girls have, males and females have. I was thinking about, for some reason, I was thinking about the human body and how if I bring up anything about blood or inside the human body or anything coming out of the human body when my wife and daughter are eating, they're like, oh my God, I can't finish my meal now. And while the boys, they go from intrigued, interested, always on the verge of funny. You know what I mean? What's inside the body, what comes out of the body, it's always interesting, it's always almost funny or overtly funny.
Right.
And for a woman, it's disgusting or can't be discussed.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Does your wife, she ever turn a wrench? She know anything about cars?
She does more around the house than I do.
I know, but that's because you're gay. But no chick, no decent-looking chick knows anything about cars. And let's face it. Hey, you know, we always worry. They worry in movies about... smokers, people who sort of being bad role models. I say making Angelina Jolie a Ferrari mechanic is a very bad and unrealistic role model for not only girls but boys.
Mm.
You think you're going to find one of them?
Oh, you see, the boys are going to go into mechanics so they can relate to one of those girls?
Super. I'm just saying that we expect through watching movies that super hot chicks know something. Have a skill. If it's a James Bond movie, they're physicists. If it's a Nick Cage movie. By the way, has Nick Cage, has something happened to him? Do you think he has a brain tumor?
Yes.
I mean, has the last eight movies he's done just been basically gay porn? Essentially gay porn? What happened to Nick Cage? What's going on?
I don't know.
Gone in 60 seconds?
Scientology.
Oh, Scientology. That's right.
I thought it was John Woo's fault.
John Woo. John Woo, what a genius. One of the greatest gay porn directors of our time. Broken Arrow, Gone in 60 Seconds. Did he do Gone in 60 Seconds?
No, but Windtalkers.
Windtalkers, did he do Con Air?
Face Off.
Oh, Face Off. Oh. gay, porn. Yeah, that's a great movie, that Face Off. We just take John Travolta's face and we put on Nick Cage's face, you see? And then it's confusing to everybody.
I see.
Yeah.
Apparently, it had five endings. I left after the third one. I couldn't take any more endings. I just left after the third.
What do you mean? It had five endings.
It just kept ending. It just kept being another ending and then another one, and then I left.
I really wish that the American public wasn't so goddamn stupid and would just say that movies like that just suck royal ass.
You know people who like those?
Stupid people.
They like cake.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the people that like American cars, thick crust pizza, and cake. They like movies like Face Off and Broken Arrow and Con Air.
There's something kind of pure and innocent about all those things.
Yeah.
Naive.
That's right. Oh, what the hell's Nick Cage doing? But anyway, what was I saying? Hot chicks, they know nothing. And if you watch these movies, you think they know something. You watch You watch any Bond movie, you watch any Nick Cage movie, there's a hot chick who has a skill. Doesn't exist.
Of course it exists.
I've never known a super hot chick that really knew anything. Mm-hmm.
Physicians and
yeah,
college professors.
No.
And business analysts.
Never seen it. There's attractive women who do stuff. Even that's surprising. You know, you find a woman who's attractive, and it's like, what? You're a physician? Or even you know, you're a podiatrist, you're an attorney. Whoa, you're like a good 7.5, 8. What are you doing? You must have been ugly in college. I mean, that's surprising, but you don't see Angelina Jolie. Well, let me explain what Angelina Jolie does. What Angelina Jolie does. That's how you know what the truth is. She plays mechanics. But in real life, what does she do?
Acts.
That's right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's hop back on the phones. What do you say there, Drew?
Let's go.
All right. Dylan?
Hey.
Hey, you're 16.
Yep. What's Adam, that? On the movie thing, you just got to stick with Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's scary, that movie, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Scary bad.
Dylan.
After me and my girlfriend have sex, all the sperm and everything come back out.
Yeah, well, not all of it does.
I'd say a large part of it does.
Yeah, what do you do, weigh it before it goes in?
I don't know. I just judge by, like, the spot on my floor.
Do you think that's not the way human reproductive systems should operate?
Well, I was just wondering why it all came back out.
Well, what do you think? You're humping a shop vac?
Well, I was just wondering. It's like a water slide, though.
Do you think...
them all up and they come back out.
They don't. They don't come back out.
Dylan's a jag-off. Don't talk to him.
Right, the fact is, everyone has a fallout afterwards, but there are millions and millions and millions left behind to do their work.
That's why if you're a class act like me, you toss your bitch a tube sock. That's my move. And I explain to
him... A new tube sock. That's where you're really, you know, being considerate. You don't use one of the ones out of your hamper, do you?
Well, yeah, but it can still be considered a new sock.
Do you like crack it over your knee before you send it over to her?
Yeah, what I'll usually do is I'll take the tube sock and I'll slide the nightstand over to the edge of the windowsill. They're about same height.
Right.
Slide it over so it's about 14, 16 inch apart. Tube socks like 18 inches, and I'll set it there like a plank.
Yeah,
and then I'll drop an elbow on it.
Right.
That's a kind of a wrestling move. Yeah. I'll get up on the bed, do a couple of bounces, come flying down.
A key eye
in the air. Drop the elbow on it, snap it in half.
That's good.
And now once in a while it breaks clean. Then I got those little tennis socks. it actually snapped clean all the way through. Not just break and hinge. Tom.
Yes.
You're 27?
27.
What's up?
I don't know. I'm thinking about seeking gratification through calling prostitutes.
All right.
Seeking gratification.
You're going to call them and have them come over?
Yeah. I mean, I've done it twice, but I've had a dry spell for a few months before that. There was a dry spell for a few months before that. And I don't know, it just seems like too much, like just way too much effort. I don't know, just meeting girls and, you know, just...
By the way, how many successive dry spells can you put together before it just becomes one big dry spell?
Yeah.
I mean, but I kind of like your strategy. I wish I should have used that when I was younger. I had a 6 month dry spell, and then I had a 6 month or before that, and then a 6 month, actually all the way back to high school.
Did you ever consider maybe that you're going about things the wrong way?
No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've had three pretty long relationships. I mean, of course, I think every guy's looking for a long relationship. Everyone's looking for love. But, I mean, sometimes, you know, it's a testosterone thing. And you just don't want to go through all the effort of trying to meet a chick. And
how much are these prostitutes?
I don't know. I mean, I guess about $150 probably.
Where'd you meet the other two?
You did it two times.
Huh? About $150.
Where did you meet the other two?
In New York.
New York.
Where?
Where? I don't just do, like, you know, like a Village Voice or some periodical.
All right. And you've moved out to Los Angeles?
Uh-huh.
And you want to get some other prostitutes?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Aren't you worried about the legal aspects of this?
What do you mean legal?
Legal.
Why, do you guys ever have prostitutes?
It's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, Drew and I have a couple under the console right now. Wow.
Ooh, he scares me.
Yeah. Tom, you're freaking me out, buddy. What'd you come out to L.A. to do?
Oh, come on. What does everyone come out to L.A. to do?
Act?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, such a disaster. Please don't turn out like Nicolas Cage. Do Face Off, too. All right. Look, Tom, why don't you find a relationship?
Oh, I'm looking. Don't think I'm looking.
All right. Well,
it's easier said than done, though.
Yeah, in the meantime, if you want a prostitute, fine. I don't, put a condom on and pay up.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, what about the health aspect?
What about just lap dances or something?
Put a condom on and pay.
Ugh.
Huh?
Ugh.
No, I mean, there's a health thing, you know? I mean, that's the main thing I'm worried about, really.
All right, well, listen, go to one of those Oriental massage places and get, like, a happy release. Yeah. Why not?
It's not to say I could do that myself.
Well, you can do everything yourself, you know what I mean, when it breaks down. I mean, look, you want something coming out of your penis other than urine for a change. You want someone else to do it for you. I don't know. You want a prostitute? Go get a prostitute. I don't really care. I think it should be legal.
In Nevada, do they control the health? Do they screen them there?
Yeah. Well, they do at those ranches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not legal in Vegas. It's legal in, I don't know, Henderson or Pahrump or something like that. Huh. And that's where the ranches are.
Mm.
And they have screenings.
Mm-hmm.
And, they have mother and daughter teams working there.
No.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that?
I remember seeing a story about that. Mother and daughter, that's got to be nice.
Woo.
Yeah.
Oh.
What I like to do is the trifecta where I nail grandma, too.
God.
I start with grandma, and I work my way down to daughter, and it's like flipping the pages of a photo album.
Mm-hmm.
We start going back in time. It's great.
It's like a picture of Dorian Gray in reverse or something. Yeah, nice.
What I do is I nail the grandma, and then I have the mom put on garb from like the 60s,
mm-hmm.
and I have the daughter wear like a flapper outfit from the Roaring 20s. So it's as if I'm nailing grandma
when she's
78.
Yes, I see.
And when she's 17.
I see.
It's cool. You want to do that with me?
No, thanks. I appreciate you asking, though. Damn. But we'll try to arrange that at your bachelor party.
Yeah. They have private planes right out of the airport there.
At the ranch?
They fly into the ranch. They got nothing. Listen, Nevada's one big landing strip, if you think about it.
But they land like one
plane? Yeah, because they fly small planes there. Yeah, you can fly in. Or we'll just take the drive. We'll get one of those big limo SUVs, Drew. You and I will roll in. Those places are great, too, because it's nothing but, it's like barbed wire and cinder block.
Is that right? How do you know so much about these places?
I told you, I nailed the grandmother, the daughter,
right.
And I hear tale that the daughter's pregnant.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so in a couple months, I'm going to go out there and get the kid.
The kid, yeah.
I'm hoping.
From your old lady.
I'm hoping it's a girl.
Huh.
I mean, but if it's not, hey, what can you do? What can you do? Eileen?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I have like a little problem. It's kind of weird. I've been seeing my boyfriend for 2.5 years, and we've been having sex for about 2 years. And I was a virgin, and he wasn't. And for some reason, it just kind of makes me feel weird that even though I've been with him this long, that he has had sex with somebody else. It's kind of like, I feel like I'm jealous in a way.
Yeah.
He has had sex with somebody before me because I waited so long to wait for somebody that I did want to have sex with, and it was just like whatever to him.
You're just stirring up trouble.
Boy, are you ever.
What's up with
sabotage.
You, baby?
Sabotage. Woof.
Yeah. Why are you sabotaging?
I don't know. And, we've been together for a little while, and still it just kind of plays in the back of my mind sometimes.
Where's Daddy?
Yeah, you're angry.
No, well, no, I mean, I get along great with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Is your biological father?
Yes.
What about Mom?
Mom's great.
Everything's great at home?
Yeah.
Where are you living now?
I stay with my grandparents.
Why are you with your grandparents? Everything's so great
at
home.
This is always where it gets good.
It's closer for me to go to college.
All right. I'm with you on that. Your dad does what for a living?
He's a printer.
Aha! Okay. So he prints. Your parents are together.
Uh-huh.
You love Daddy and Mommy.
Yes.
and everything's cool.
Are you just maybe not into this guy? Maybe you're just sort of not wanting to be as close or as involved, as so joined at the hip, as you guys say, in this relationship?
I actually think we get along really good.
No, I understand
for
you.
For some reason, I have this jealousy thing going.
You get along really good, but, you know, a lot of 20-year-old girls, when they're into a guy, are really into it.
Most 20-year-old males and females, when they're in for 2 years, this is like, whoa, we're just in. This is the greatest thing. But when you start picking nits, when you start nitpicking and you start finding reasons to be jealous and finding reasons to push away and create distance and to dissolve the intimacy, either there's some psychological reason for that or there's some something about the relationship. And at 20, it's hard, especially since this is your first love relationship, your first sexual relationship, it is very hard to know, be objective, very hard to be objective and to know when the relationship is over and what to do about it. I'm suspicious that you're just sort of not that into this.
What do you think, Eileen?
I don't know. I kind of wanted to know what you guys think.
Well, that's what we think. That's what we think.
Keep my mind off of it.
No. Well, get another boyfriend.
All right, wait a minute. Let me give a couple quick thoughts.
Okay.
A, this is the first guy you've been with.
Mm-hmm.
And your beef with him is that he's been with someone else.
Right.
So if you break up with this guy, by your own logic and math, you can't be with anybody else. You know what I mean? It kind of puts you in a sort of no-win situation. You've painted yourself into a sexual corner here.
People aren't allowed to have had previous experiences.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Number two, your answer, do you want to marry this guy?
I hope to.
You hope? Yeah, see,
you're not.
Hold on a second. I got to talk to Drew. Her answers are not the answers of a 20-year-old who's in love.
There's no enthusiasm. It's all qualified.
It's like, do you want to marry this guy? There's a beat. Yeah. I hope to.
Yeah.
And then maybe you're not in love with this guy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It just does not sound like a 20-year-old who's with the man of her dreams who took her virginity. Yeah. Eileen?
Yes.
Do you know what we're saying?
Oh, I totally understand.
So what's up? What are we missing here?
No, we're not missing anything. We're missing...
What are you missing?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's always the fact that you're 20 and your mind, you have more energy, and yeah, he was with someone before you, and you can occupy your mind with that. It's definitely a male thing. But your parents are fine and everything's good with you. You just don't sound like you're really sold on this guy.
I feel like I am. I just don't really know why it is I'm so jealous, or I just don't really know. I think it might be me. I don't think it's so much him. I think I just have like a little personal problem with myself because of the fact, like how I said, I waited for somebody who I really did want to be with, and
no.
I just don't really
know. Not the answer.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense what you're saying. You're spinning around in this thought that's sort of nonsensical.
I don't know. We can't. Eileen, you feel like someone that is not in touch with their self.
Right. Right.
That's what you seem like to me.
You've got these rationalizations that don't connect with anything real. It's just me. It must be me. Guess what it is? Of course it's you. It's your experience.
You just seem like you're up in your head a lot.
Yeah.
And not like your average 20-year-old chick.
You're thinking everything out. You got all under control. You're very analytical, not very emotional, not very willing to listen to your emotions and your instincts. And that's important to do.
All right. So we've been no help.
Yeah. So be it.
Fantasy answer. I just think, look, there's no answer for not thinking about something other than
Don't think about it.
Right. That's it. But I'm not so sure she's sold on this guy.
No. Andrita?
Yeah.
What's up there, Andrita?
Andrita. Yeah.
That's worse. What's up, baby?
Well, I used to live in Seattle, and I moved to Lakewood in July.
Hold on, how do you spell your name?
A-N-D-R-I-T-T-A.
That's Andrita?
Andrita.
All right, keep going.
Ooh.
Okay, well, I had a boyfriend when school
ended. Hold on a second. Your dad's name's Andy and your mom's name Rita?
No, my dad's name is Bill and my mom's name is Marta.
So your name should be...
Bilarda.
Bilarda? Or what about just Larda? Where the hell's Andrita? Andrita.
You're fat.
Truthfully.
Swedish. All right, you're off the hook. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I think names, you always get a bye.
That's right, you get a bye.
Here we go.
Okay. Well,
me and my boyfriend have been going out the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like him a lot. But we're going to go to different schools because we're in different cities.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really want to break up with him, but I don't know what to do because...
How long has he been your boyfriend?
What?
How long has he been your boyfriend?
Like 2 months, probably.
You're going to have to break up with him.
12 years old? Are you 12?
Yeah.
She sounds like 17. And is he 12 also?
Yeah.
Mm. No, it distance makes a huge, huge difference at 12.
What do you guys do? Do you kiss?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, I mean, yeah, basically.
What do you mean basically? What else happens?
Not really anything.
That's good.
I mean, not anything bad. I'm, of course, a virgin.
Yeah,
of
all right.
Of course.
Of course. No, we have, you know, this is Loveline. You shouldn't be listening to this show. What are you doing? You should be asleep. When I was 12, you know what? First off, I was seen and not heard. Secondly, except for when I broke wind, which is quite often. And secondly, I was reading the Bible by candlelight. I was your age. Drew was studying the Torah, the Talmud, whatever the hell he was doing.
I'm half Jewish.
Jules Mandel was forcing kids to wear paper yarmulkes and then screaming at them in French. Okay. So listen, Drew's right. I hate to admit it, but this is what happens when you're 12. Someone moves out of big wheel distance.
It's over. It's it.
They get out of like skateboard range.
Or a summer vacation ends and you go home to your respective homes.
Think about the friends. Like, I had friends from the football team that, like, the Pop Warner football team. Well, my parents were so goddamn lazy and, thought that driving, basically, you know, if they drove anything further than, let's say, they had, like, about a 3-mile radius. Like, my mom, as far as driving me, had about the radius around my house that a field mouse has. Whatever that range is, 150 feet,
yeah,
180 feet, that was about it. You could, here it was a catch-22. She would only drive you places you could walk, crawl even, or hit with a rock from your front yard. Everything else was monumental to my mother. And so any friend that lived... Even, like, I lived in North Hollywood. If they lived 8 miles away, it was, like, done.
Couldn't be a friend.
Couldn't be friends. That was it.
Yeah.
So if a friend moved, and, like, if a friend moved to the next town or something, forget about it. Over. That's what this is going to be. 12, supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it becomes torture. You know, spending your whole childhood trying to figure out ways to see someone you never see.
That's right. More.
Yeah. It's a relation I had with Santa and the Easter Bunny, by the way. That's why... Brings a tear in my eye.
Because they never came and visited.
That's true. I'll take a little break. What did Hanukkah have? Anyone visit?
No.
Who dropped?
Elijah.
Did Elijah?
No.
He never came.
No.
You just put that chair out for him, right?
Chair and glass of wine, yeah.
All right. I'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, yo. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Let's get back to the phones, Drew.
Let's go.
Rick?
Yes, how you guys doing?
29, Dandy, buddy. What can we do you for tonight?
Oh, well, first off, you haven't even mentioned your high school reunion coming up.
My high school reunion is coming up on Saturday.
How does Rick know about this?
I don't know. I mentioned it a time or two.
You're going to go to it?
Yeah.
I know one of the organizers. That's
oh, are you?
Yes. Well, no, I'm not involved, but one of my friends is one of the organizers.
Where is it going to be?
Universal.
Okay.
I don't care if people show up.
I want to go. I want to see this.
Let me ask you guys this for a second. They asked me to host something.
Oof.
And I just said, no disrespect, but I really don't want to do that. I don't want to come back as the guy who's the host guy. I just like to meet, but you know, old people and, light a cigar with some $50 bills, do a rail of Coke, bang a couple of cheerleaders who are now fat, and hop back in the stretch SUV.
I've got to see this. I have to see. These people are all, I've got to get the vibe. I got to see who these people are.
They're just stupid people from
I've
the valley.
I've got to come. You've got to tell me where this is.
Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
Yeah. All right, anyway.
All right, here's the scoop. This is the thing that's kind of freaking me out. My girlfriend of a year and a couple of months, her brother just came in town for just the last 2 days. He's leaving back to Chicago tomorrow. And he rented a hotel with his wife, literally two blocks away from where she lives. So it's not like they're too far away. But she is actually spending the last two nights in the hotel with them, sleeping in between her brother and sister-in-law, kind of like three in a row.
How old is she?
She's 27.
And how old are these, the couple?
Her brother's 39. And I would imagine the wife would also be, you know, somewhere
bizarre.
Right there.
Well,
here's the one thing that only throws me. She does see him a couple times a year. She flies to Chicago. The only thing that I can kind of see is her father, or their father, passed away when she was younger. So I'm thinking, is this kind of like her father that she didn't have?
And he's 10 years older than she is.
12 years.
12 years older. Yeah, that is undoubtedly the kind of thing that went on for her.
This is very weird.
But that's what I'm figuring.
Even if it were, let's say it was her father that she was sleeping between her father and mother at age 29, that would be bizarre, inappropriate, horrible boundaries. And, yeah,
she's not a dumb person. She's extremely bright. Her brother is actually a emergency room doctor. I mean, she's not coming from
that. Why don't you appeal to him?
Here's the question.
Well, I just found out about it tonight, and he's obviously he's leaving tomorrow morning at a 7 o'clock flight.
Rick,
he happened to mention when I called,
Rick,
you know, I figured she's just visiting, so she's got another room. Yeah.
Rick, settle in, buddy.
Go ahead.
Number one, what are they serving at the reunion? Is it going to be like a veal, or do we get a choice between like a fish
and
a meat?
You know what? I turned down the invitation, but I've got no idea.
You were going to go?
No, my friend invited me, but another friend of mine invited, a friend of 12 years invited me.
Hold on. You invite people to reunions?
That's part of the organizing. Yeah, we're good friends. That's a totally different issue. It has nothing to do with
it. Now I'm pissed off that you didn't invite me.
What do you mean? Why would you go to some other reunion that wasn't even a school
you went
to? I've
been living with this.
She's going single. That's basically.
I've been hearing this for 10 years.
Okay, Drew, I'm done. Well, Rick, here's the thing. Does she do anything else in life that's peculiar, creepy, or strange?
Well, here's the one issue. We've been going out for a little over a year and a few months. The one thing that she's very, very close to getting her hours for child, family, marriage, council, whatever it is. But she's given up on it. Basically, the last year, the program that she was working for at one of the major hospitals shut down. And for the last year or so, she's basically just been a nanny to her niece, to her other brother's child. And she works with me every now and then. I mean, she'll come out and, you know, kind of ride shotgun and help me out, and I appreciate it. You know, I look forward to it.
Wait a minute. What do you do?
I'm a plumbing contractor.
Ride shotgun.
Well, what I mean by that is shotgun. She just rides around with me in the truck.
Right.
She does some of the bookkeeping, that kind of stuff.
She doesn't sweat any pipes?
No, but she does pull pipe.
All right.
Yeah, and I don't mean mine. Well,
all right.
Don't mean that.
Okay, listen. Here's the thing. I'll give everyone one weirdo thing to do. And I granted this thing of sleeping in between the brother and sister-in-law. And what the hell's up with the sister-in-law?
Yeah.
That's the real question that needs to be answered. I'll give someone one weirdo thing to do once a year, and if it doesn't seem to affect other parts of their life, I'll let them slide
when
on.
When did that ever happen?
Never.
Yeah.
But he couldn't come up with anything other than sort of dropping out of nursing school.
No, MFCC's, Married and Families Counseling, and she should absolutely, A, know that this is inappropriate behavior, B, it's 1,000 hours of clinical, and she was down to her last year, almost there, and then stops?
Well, people do that all the time. That doesn't...
No.
And they can restart. That doesn't mean... That's not bizarre behavior.
Yeah.
That's not wearing your cat on your head.
All right.
And marching in the lesbian parade.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Still, we know something's horribly wrong with her, and Rick's nowhere close to it, and Rick's a calculated guy, and something's up, and who cares?
Okay.
Don't get her pregnant, and thanks for not coming to my reunion.
David, 34.
Hi, good to talk to you guys. Listen, I live in Las Vegas, and I can tell you that prostitution is legal in every county in Nevada except for Clark County, which is Las Vegas, Henderson, Boulder City, or the major cities in here. Okay. The girls do get screened. I believe they get a weekly blood test.
Well, how many counties are there? How many?
I think there's like 10 or 11.
10 counties in the entire state.
Yeah, and
think about that.
In every county but Clark County.
Rhode Island has more counties.
But aren't all the ranches in one place?
No, they're spread out. There's some, like you mentioned, Pahrump, which is probably the closest one to Las Vegas. But there's brothels and whorehouses all the way up and down, like in Ely and all the other counties. As a matter of fact, the largest one in the state of Nevada, which was the Mustang Ranch outside of Reno, was actually operated by the federal government for a number of years to pay back the back taxes the owner never paid.
Wow.
All right. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. David, we got a few seconds left here. What's going on?
I'm a single father. I have a six-year-old daughter, and I was wondering, when is it going to be okay to introduce her to somebody I'm dating?
When you really believe they're going to be around for a while.
Okay.
That's otherwise, I would not involve her in those relationships.
And I haven't yet, you know, but I haven't really found anybody I've been very serious about.
And she will, you know, it would be very helpful to her to have some female relationships that are,
well,
again...
My in-laws, my wife's parents, have been very involved in her life since the day she was born.
Right. The people...
My wife's cousin moved in with us while she's going to college. So she does have a lot of female.
All right. That's what's important. Don't involve her in your relationship until they're going to be a part of her life permanently.
All right. We'll be back. All right. That's the show, everybody.
Once again, we solved the world's problems during the break.
Yeah,
nice.
That's all we do. I'll see you guys back here on Sunday.
Remember the Learning Channel, also Sunday, August 25th. Teen Species I'm doing. Very
That's
good.
Right. And I want to thank producer Ann for doing a great job all week. Junior producer Lauren.
No.
For doing a great job in talking to me about Tori Amos.
Endlessly.
I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones, the coffee, and the water. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. You did a great job on the phones and the water and the sometimes coffee. And I want to thank Engineer Anderson.
Unacceptable.
And Engineer Ken for doing a nice job filling in for Engineer Anderson at some point.
No.
I'm not sure when he left and Anderson came in, but Anderson's back, and that's what we should all be thankful for. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. I'm getting sick, Drew.
Yeah.
Saying... Mahalo. Seen that Reese's peanut butter cup commercial?
You got vagina in my penis?
No, you got penis in my vagina.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.